Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 222. Anyone who listened to the first Jake Gervais episode, it was a wild time. He repeats here in his second appearance on the show. The main thing we want to get across here is the Rally for Reed Youth Football Camp that Jake is putting on in just over 2 weeks with a bunch of other Hawkeyes. It's a great event. All that info is about 42 minutes in. Otherwise, let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washington Walk-Ons fans. Episode 222 of the podcast, and today is a real family episode. I say that because our guest joining us today is a weird part of our family. And my son in high school, he was my son. In college, he was Kevin's son. Now I do believe he is partially his wife's son. Love the guy. Pretty face. Maybe looks like a lesbian a little bit. But he's a great friend and an always welcome member to the podcast, Jake Gervais Schnaden. It's good to have you, bud.
Gervais.
I appreciate it. I'll give Kevin the daddy title because I asked him a lot of dumb questions in meetings. But other than that, he's the only one getting that one.
The daddy title. Call him
what?
Daddy.
He's admitting that I'm daddy?
Kevin.
No, just in college. Not anymore, Kev. This is like. You had it for like a year when I was asking dumb questions in meetings, but no longer. Clearly, ever since you paid me rent, lived in my house, I transitioned to daddy.
I do think that Drake has something there. It is like a family episode. I think if there's anyone that, you know, there's probably a few guys we could throw out there that kind of feel like they would be the other host of this show if you could just add on like secondary or tertiary hosts. Brady Ross is one of those people. I think you are as well, Jake. It just feels right, man. You're walk on, baby. Yeah. You're not washed up, and I still am fucking confused about that. But
wow.
Dude, I gotta be honest, man. I'm straight honest. I don't know how Jake Gervais is beating the odds, man.
Assumption sucked, and some kid from Assumption now plays for the Rams, dude. So that's all I gotta say.
He doesn't just play for the Rams, though.
He's a vet.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna be honest too. I don't know either. I mean. I could be washed up tomorrow for all I know, but somehow I keep tricking people to keep me around. My buddy last year, so I was gone the first 6 weeks, whatever, and I got brought back to the Rams week 7, and my buddy Troy Reeder is like, you know, Gervais is just like that turd you can't flush, man. He just won't go away.
Just too thick to go down the hole, man.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can, but who knows? Could be over tomorrow or hopefully crank out another year or two.
How is it for your mental health, you know, feeling like you're always on the border?
It's hard. The thing that sucks now is, like, you know, I'm married. It's not just me anymore. I'm putting Haley in a situation where we don't know what – my football life's going to be like. I'm going to be on a team. I'm going to be home. We're going to have insurance. We're not going to have insurance. That part's stressful, but the benefit of it is, like, you're always feeling like you're never satisfied. Like, as you guys know, the walk-on attitude, like, you're always working towards getting better, trying to prove yourself, trying to stick around. So there's pros and cons of it. It can be definitely tough, and, you know, it wears on you mentally, getting cut, sent home, brought back, all that stuff. But at the same time, it's got its benefits for sure.
Listen, man, you're an adult now. Why don't you have like a little back pocket insurance plan going on?
No, I can get one. It's just going to cost money, which I could do.
All fucking know you got a problem with, man. God damn, money's tight in the Gervais household, ain't it?
Gervais could be a 12-year vet, and the kids would be eating ramen and PB&J, baby, because they're just not enough in the account, you know?
It's just a little too tight this month. The gas bill went up. They're charging $3.19 a gallon.
Those California taxes, man.
You know, why is my water bill $50? Who's been flushing the toilet? We don't flush the toilet.
This is a Drew household. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush Kevin it down.
I had Kevin crank my AC down to like 64 for a year and a half. I'm still recovering from that freaking election.
I like it.
The dude liked it cold, but I get a text from Haley like every other day. Kevin's walking around with the shirt off, and I saw his butt crack. Like, dude, constantly happening.
Oh, your wife has seen Kevin's dick way more than yours. It's guaranteed.
No.
Yeah, let's bleep that out. Please.
That's a wild comment from Kluver.
Okay. Oh, wait. No, that's not your wife. Sorry, that's me. I have seen Kevin.
Kluver, you've probably seen it more than anybody alive.
And you know what? I take pride in that. So
you should.
We somehow bounced Drake from the episode. He just left because of how outrageous that was. So yeah, man. That is weird. That's one of the things that some people always ask me, like, oh man, like you could have gone, like, don't you wish you would have gotten a shot? And I'm like, yeah, it would have been cool. But as a specialist, I mean, the specialist, even if you're good, even if you have a starting spot, you live that lifestyle the entire time in the league, man. And it's just like even Casey Kreider, he's in year 6 or 7 and he's on those 1-year contracts, just like bouncing it out, man. Like, it's so.
Yeah. But when those one-year contracts are 7 figures, you get over it.
Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It's a grind too. Like, I remember talking to James Ferentz last year. Like,
he's the king of it, man.
Yeah, he was out of football for a year, won a couple of Super Bowls. He started a decent amount of games. And he was like, you know, it's a tough life if you're in that bottom like 10 to 15%. But at the same time, like, you can work the rest of your life. So might as well chase that dream as long as you can. And who knows, you find the right coach, the right organization, and you can crank out a decent little career out of it.
I mean, totally. I always felt like, you know, as long as you are still enjoying football, like, like you said, you can go work whatever job you want to afterwards. Why not keep going until, you know, it's like, hey, there's literally nothing out there for me anymore.
Yeah.
If you quit before they tell you you have to, you're either very hurt or a pussy.
Or very rich already.
Or you already won, exactly.
Well, yeah. Okay, if you beat the game and you get to retire on your terms, that's a whole different story.
Right, like McAfee, you know? Like, he made a shitload of money, and he was like, screw this, I'm going to go get into entertainment. And now he's, you know, he could have punted for 3-4 more years, 5 more years.
Longer than that. He only played for what, like 7?
Yeah, I mean, he could have been a 15-year vet. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but even in your situation, Gervais, like, you hang around long enough, there's going to be there's going to still be a decent chunk of change to put away. Like, it kind of sets you up. It gives you a lot of security after you build it up to, like, kind of. Yeah, you got time to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And that's, I mean, yeah.
And you're going to own a Checkers, and I know that, but.
Shout out to Checkers in the Quad Cities.
Right.
No, but yeah, for sure. If you're smart with it and you take care of business and, you know, can crank out a few years here, a few years there, it can, you know, set you up for whatever you want to do next after football. I'll never be a guy that's, you know, not going to have to work again. You know, Ben Neiman might be on that route with his.
Let's go, Big Bank Ben Neiman, baby. Let's go. Yeah.
Shout out to my son, Ben. He also paid me rent back in the day at 56 Elementary.
He probably rubbed your back and tugged your dick too.
Is everyone paid you rent at one time, your son? Because you got like a lot of kids then. People were moving
that
house every year.
56 Arbor was a trap house. We had some good times. And then once the missus moved in, she transformed it. And it's no longer the college crib it once was.
How does your wife – you guys got married. This was supposed to happen last year, right?
Yeah, so we got married last July, and we're getting remarried this July.
Yeah, well, I know that. I'm coming to the wedding. It's going to be
– doing the whole Catholic mass thing, and then what are we doing?
Yeah, it's a little Catholic mass. It'll just be a renewal of vows. We'll go through the whole ceremony, but it'll be a quick one. And then basically just a big old party afterwards.
Oh, I mean, you can't say that it would be a quick one because there's no such thing as a quick Catholic wedding. Whole mass, dude.
You find the right priest and it can slide by.
That's true. That's a good point.
Now, are you prepared for Kevin to rip articles of clothing off his body at the...
is the bar open?
I object to that because at past weddings, the articles of clothing were ripped off of me or they were broken due to their...
tightness?
They're less than optimal... stretchiness.
I've already sent out an email to both families warning, just like, once Kevin gets that look in his eye, like, give him 6 feet.
Dude, that's a real thing. He does get a look in his eye, man. He gets this. Yeah,
is the bar open, Gervas?
It's beer and wine. We got too many people to do a cash bar, but you get your own liquor, but beer and wine is on the house until we run out, which you never know. Could happen.
That is my
goal. Well, yeah, because you probably bought like 3 kegs and said, sorry, suckers. I hope you brought your cash.
You're right. It's on you, assholes.
Oh, man. God.
You better have brought me a present, too.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, the gifts are the best part, Jervy. I'm sure you've already received some because they start coming in early, but... are you just like, does some part of you want to just like get that over with? Like, it feels like it's been super drawn out. I mean, you want to enjoy it, but like, it's like, wow, this like, and you're already married too. That's the thing. It's like, she's your wife.
Yeah. Not really, because in a sense I got the best of both worlds. We did the small intimate wedding last year. It was just like 14 people, our immediate family. It was an awesome day. And now this is basically like a big party, right? It's going to be a lot of fun with both our friends, family.
How drunk do you think we can get Josie?
Oh, man. I remember I was feeding Josie. I was Josie's, bitch boy at his wedding. And I was feeding him. He didn't know. Vodka lemonade. I think I was getting Hawkeye because I didn't want to pay for, like, top shelf stuff. at his own wedding, I was feeding him Hawkeye and lemonade. And he was buzzing pretty good. So I like our chances at my wedding.
Listen, pal. You're scum. You're garbage. You're scum. That's the whole concept of this podcast. Oh my God.
I knew he'd have a good time on some Hawkeye, so I just took advantage.
Jesus Christ. It was his wedding day, you scumbag.
Josie did get lathered up. It's fun to see him It's fun to see him drop the, I don't know what it is about him. He's just a little bit too tight. And when he gets funny, he's a good dude.
You don't see it very often, but you gotta treasure it.
The MVPs of that day were Mr. and Mrs. Ward. They bought us like, what was it, like $400 worth of like Arby's or Burger King and took us home and saved
what?
Hardee's.
We got Hardee's delivered to the wedding site in our Uber that was also free to take us back to the room. It was the greatest service that you could ever get. And it's just completely, it's not expected because that's too much to expect. But at this point, it's become expectation of the Ward family. It's just A+ class.
I was going to say, when's the last time that the Wards weren't the MVPs, right? Like, other than Kevin in the family, everyone else is an MVP, and it's just like, I mean,
if you talk about another MVP moment, those steak sandwiches at the OG Crawfish Boil.
Like, dude,
talk dirty to me, Mr. Ward.
I wouldn't know about that,
though. I wouldn't know. I'm not I didn't attend, but I've been around. I mean, B Ford has taken me out several times for dinner. He hosted us at the lake house, which evidently is no more, which makes me sad.
Yeah, you're not invited back after you tried to kill me.
And I did try to kill Kevin, but your dad still served me delicious food, even after I tried to take out his son from the earth. And it's just a family that provides time after time after time. So what you just got done, you said you got right before this, you got done with a team meeting. What's that all about? What are the secrets for the ramp?
I'm out in LA right now. Tomorrow's our last day of OTA.
Before you answer this question, how bad does it smell?
What?
LA.
It doesn't. What are you talking about?
No. Don't tell me that LA doesn't smell like a bum's ass.
Well, I'm like an hour north of like downtown, but I've never noticed a smell before.
All right, continue. I digress.
Jeez. Just finished up. Tomorrow's our last day. Been out here for a month for OTAs, doing some 7-on-7 stuff, some virtual meetings, and then head back to good old Iowa City Friday. But it's been good.
They got you out there, but you're still doing virtual meetings.
So basically what our team, every team's doing it differently. So we're on, our captains agreed with the coaching staff because there was a whole like holdout, like, oh, we're not going to OTAs, it's optional, COVID's still a thing, argument. Basically our captains agreed that we would do full speeds, individual and 7-on, we'd do jog through team periods. And actually we didn't have any meetings until this week because this week is our mandatory mini camp. And basically, we were doing practice lifting in the morning, and then afternoon, we just do a quick team meeting that's mandated by the NFL, going over like social justice issues, team security, COVID protocol, so that type of stuff. It's not like watching football or any of that. It's more off the field type of meetings for a quick hour every afternoon.
Always everybody's favorite type of meetings.
That would have been – that's rough. Those are rough. Yeah,
200 dudes on a Zoom call. Only like 15 guys have their cameras on. It's interesting.
Jake was, the other 185 have their bongs out.
Yeah. The other 185 are playing Xbox while the camera's up. What are the biggest differences and the biggest similarities between the Rams organization and Iowa?
Oof, that's a good question.
And it could be anything.
Yeah, I would say, as you guys have talked about and as you guys experienced, like, Iowa's kind of like, you know, go, 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 walk the line, do things right. It's a tough program, but also, like, brings the best out of you in a sense. Where Sean is – out here in LA, he's like really a player.
Did you coach. Just call your head coach Sean?
Sean McVay, yeah, Coach McVay. Sorry.
Hey, well, it's a looser situation.
Absolutely. That's what I'm getting, dude. He's more of a player's coach. So out here, it's a little more laid back. Like, he really takes care of guys, you know, on the field physically. You'll take two hard days and he'll kind of do a deload day three. The weight room stuff is nothing crazy. So it's just been a big adjustment for me rookie year, going from like, go, 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 we're going to lift hard, practice hard, to where here in the NFL. And you got to do it because you got guys like, you know, who are in the mid 30s, some older veteran guys going on year 10, 13, yeah, whatever
some,
it is.
You got some crickety crackety bones up in there. Got to keep them safe. You do.
So, yeah, that's the biggest difference in terms of football is just like, you know, this is a little more laid back, taking care of guys, and you just got to take advantage of those full speed reps when you get them.
That probably was weird for you coming from that, again, that walk-on mentality of like everything is 100% balls to the wall. And then you get into the NFL and it's like, well, no, like we go light on these days and it's not as serious here. Like, did you have to kind of like rework your mind to figure out how to go balls to the wall, but not in an effort sense, but more of like a caring sense, or like I go balls to the wall in doing my best with what, you know, with what the structure is. Like that's probably weird to pull back a little bit.
Yeah, definitely took some getting used to. I mean, you guys all know from experience, like the reason you got on the field was by going 110%, 110 miles per hour every time you got, you know, a chance to do so in practice, in the weight room, conditioning, whatever it was. So it definitely took some getting used to, like, hey, it's, you gotta take your foot off the gas pedal every once in a while, go within the recommended or the required tempo. And then, like I said, just when you get those opportunities to go full speed and practice preseason, whatever it may be, that's the time you got to take advantage of them. Because that's when you're going to get, you know, get noticed by the coaches and scouts, whatever it may be, to hopefully add value and, you know, find a way to, you know, trick them into keeping you around another year.
I've tried to follow it, but you've been like on the team, off the team, then you're on the rot. Like what has been the exact, do you even remember at this point how many times you've been like brought on, cut, practice squad? Like what's that looked like exactly?
I'm straight. I got those cut forms. I got them framed in my bedroom.
Oh my god!
I covered up Kevin's daily discipline that he taped to the back of my bedroom door.
Hey, you were leaving that up. I thought you said you're gonna leave that up.
Nah, I think we ended up taking. Well, I actually got a new door, so I took it off.
Ah, okay. So the door still has it on there, though.
Yeah, the door still does. It's just in the Iowa City dump somewhere. But
someone donated Gervas a new door because I know he didn't.
Some bum with a new door is gonna be living the slight edge real soon.
Slight edge. Yeah, I got the whole process down. So rookie year, didn't get signed as an undrafted free agent. Came out here as a tryout, got signed, went through preseason and camp, got cut, got signed to the P squad. Week 7, a safety went down. I was brought up to the active roster. I finished the active roster the next 11 weeks. On the Rams all offseason of 2020. Got cut when they brought the rosters down. They brought the rosters from 90 to 80 because of COVID before camp. I was so blindsided in a sense that when Coach McVay called me, it didn't even cross my mind that I was getting cut. I was supposed to be flying out 2 days later for camp, July 27th. I think I got cut July 25th. Safety got hurt.
What was that like? What went through your head then?
That was bad. Like, that was rough because when that happened, like, teams are cutting guys down. They're not adding anybody new.
Right.
So when that happened, I was like, shit, like, I'm not going to get a chance to go to camp. I know right. There's no preseason. Like, there's a good chance my playing days could be over, which was really tough because Haley had just taken a leave of absence from her job. I was feeling really confident kind of where I was in the – you know, position battle to try to fight for a safety spot. And then that kind of happened. So that was a really tough 2 weeks. Took a little, Bob Walker. He was an entrepreneurial teacher at Iowa.
I remember Josie talking about him. Yeah.
Yeah. I started working at his, I was driving myself nuts at home. So I started working at his farm for like 3 weeks.
I was just going to say, what did you do during that time to like mentally just kind of relax?
Just did manual labor. I was like cutting down his tree line, fixing his fence.
Just
like
taking out all your aggression on just grunt work.
Man, that was a tough 2 weeks. And then after like 2.5 weeks, the safety got banged up, got brought out here for camp. And then it was here all of camp, no preseason, which, you know, hurts guys like me.
Hurts.
Got sent home after camp. And then safety gets banged up week 6. I get brought out of here week 7. Got brought up to the active roster for one game because of a COVID protocol issue. We lost to at the time, I think they were 0-12, the Jets. The one game I dress, we lose.
I remember watching that game, actually, because you had been posting about it, and I was like, fuck, Gervas is on the roster for this game. And then I was like, oh, this isn't going well.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Tough loss there, but then I finished on the P squad and then decided to sign a futures contract as a linebacker and no longer a safety. That's really? Where I'm at now.
It happens to us all, man.
Guys.
So the Rams finally decided, you know, after about a year and a half, this kid isn't fast. Like, is that what it was? Or they just thought, oh, let's beef him up. We need more people in the linebacker room or what?
It was kind of a mutual thing.
And I was just going to say, you said it was your decision. You decided to do that?
So, like, there was a point where I was thinking about trying to sign with a different team.
Oh, okay.
Because of kind of the up and down roller coaster I'd been with,
sure,
with the Ram. But ultimately, felt like it was a really good fit, a good transition to try to play linebacker and give myself a better chance to, you know, help out the team and kind of increase my chance of making this team,
yep,
or potentially another team down the line after the preseason, whatever it may be. So it was a mutual thing where, you know, our safety room is crazy deep. My rookie year, we drafted two safeties. My second year, we drafted two safeties, and another safety we just lost in free agency was an all-pro guy. So, like, we've got some dudes in that safety room, and not saying we don't have any, you know, great linebackers, but I was kind of reading the writing on the wall that, hey, it might be a better move for me to try to transition, put on some weight, and see what happens.
So you're a little beefier now? What do you weigh?
Yeah, I'm sitting up about 222. Put on about 17, 18 pounds.
Jeez.
For episode 222.
There you go.
You bet.
There you go. Yeah.
Got on the Kevin Ward diet, and the rest is history.
I'll say this.
Yeah, so.
No, go, Kevin.
When Jake and Haley used to cook dinner with each other, they'd always have leftovers, and they'd always slide it my way. I'm like, even if I wasn't asking, like, Kevin, come eat this. So, Jake, you basically said, stop saying to whoever's in the house, come eat this. Just finally started eating like a man.
Now it's time to, you know, put my purse away and start eating. So I got on some creatine, hung out with my man Nicholas DeMarco for a couple weeks, and it really wasn't too bad putting on the weight, and body feels good, and I'm really liking the transition linebacker so far.
Yeah, talk about the you were out there, what, 4 weeks in North Carolina at DeMarco?
Yeah, Ben and I went out there for five weeks to train this.
Sorry, you cut out there. I was.
Yeah, like, I mean, their Javas internet just follows.
It follows them around. They can't get it in the, you know, the hotel. It's probably an aura that he spits out. It's like, Jake Javas is here. Internet.
This is not my fault. It's the Wi-Fi. I've been struggling with it since I've been here. So
you're telling me the motherfucking Rams aren't paying for good internet out there? This is bullshit. You downgraded on purpose or something.
No.
So you went out to work with DeMarco, and this is always the thing that intrigues me just because I'm into training and nutrition and stuff, is like in the off season, guys are on their own. Like it's like, how much directive do you guys get from the Rams strength staff? What do they tell you? Like, hey, come back fit, or like, what's that look like?
Yeah. So you can do it kind of how you want to. Like you said, if you want to get specific programming from the Rams, they will provide that for you. And I could do that at the Iowa weight room or, you know, wherever I want to work out.
Right.
Or you can do what I did, was, you know, meet up with a coach like DeMarco and kind of do his programming. So it's completely up to you in terms of what you do, how you do it. And as long as you come back in shape for OTAs and camp, that's all they really care about, which is cool, because they let you do your own thing.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing DeMarco had you doing? Because he's really kind of on the cutting edge, new wave of a lot of stuff that he's doing.
Yeah, he's a psycho. I think the craziest thing we probably did was
not even like safety. Crazy. It's just like oddest, like most out of the norm thing that you can think of.
Out of the norm. DeMarco's we did like
he's like always got a reason behind what he does. Everything
that we did a safety bar split squat, rear foot elevated, and your hands were supported, and it was 7 seconds eccentric, and I think we got it up to like 505. Single leg. And that was pretty.
Do you just lower the bar or do you actually push it back up too?
You would push back up, but then Ben and Nick would stand on the side and like help you lift it up. So you don't have to lift it up by yourself.
I was about to say, because there's no way you're single leg split squatting, rear foot elevated 500 pounds after a 7 second Eason.
I was also going to say, dude, if you're doing that, then I no longer question how you're still in the league, because that would be insane. Wow.
If I'm doing that CrossFit Games, here I come.
Absolutely, dude. You know, DeMarco was close. He was close to making semifinals this year.
I know. He texted me the other day that he's locking in. He vowed to make it next year.
He's gonna make semifinals.
If DeMarco vowed to do it, then he's gonna do it.
I told him
that nobody can train harder than that psycho.
Is that
when you go to actually California?
So they've switched up the through this CrossFit, the brand has been through the ringer the last year. So the owner and creator, he got a little bit racist, you know, during the whole stuff that happened last year. So he's out. They kicked him to the curb, and new ownership. So the way to the games now looks a little bit different. There's an added stage. So it used to be like worldwide open. Anybody can sign up. The workouts are fairly like, there's nothing crazy in them. And then like basically the top 1% go to the regionals, and it gets a little bit tougher. And then the top 5 from each one of those regionals goes to the games. Now they've added a quarterfinals. So the top 10% in the world actually qualify out of that first stage. Then like the top 5% of that 10% go to the semifinals, which are actually happening right now. And then they go to the games. And DeMarco was just outside the top 1,000 in the United States this year. And then got like 370th in the quarterfinals in the North America. And you had to place top 180, and he was 370th. So, yeah, and he's right there, dude. He's right there. And that's actually what I'm training for too. I won't be there in a year, but DeMarco's close, and he's a psycho. I told him 7 years ago, I was like, dude, if you wanted to go to the CrossFit Games, you could do it. And back then he was like, he wasn't against CrossFit like Doyle and some of the other coaches were, but he wasn't about it. And now I text with him about it twice a week. Like, we send each other workouts. He's all in. I literally have a text message from DeMarco that says, I'm all in on CrossFit. Like, he's geeked about it.
Any of you guys ever want to, if you want to die, DeMarco had me do, or one of his buddies came up with it or something. It was just a mile sprint on the assault bike, and the goal was under 2 minutes. And it was probably the worst I've ever felt.
Oh, on the assault bike. I was like, yeah, no, the assault bike's god awful. I bought an Echo bike, the Rogue version of it. It's in my basement. I die on it daily. It's horrible.
Yeah, give it a mile sprint, see if you can break 2 minutes, and let me know how you feel after.
I can't. I'm too small. I can't get the arc.
What'd you get?
Like a minute 52.
Yeah,
it's and insane. I felt god awful.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
I did a workout today that was horrible. No one gives a fuck, but it was bad.
Dude, anything that's like max effort in that minute and a half to 2 minute range is just horrible.
It's working right on the edge of that. Like that second energy system. What is it? The anaerobic glycolytic or whatever. And it hurts bad, dude. The buildup of especially the buildup of lactic acid on the bike, that gets to be absolutely bad news bears. Not good. Anyway, you're out there for DeMarco. Where did you stay? Did you and Ben stay in an Airbnb?
Yeah, so we got a little Airbnb.
Don't you remember the night that the snaps were going back and forth because you can for sure beat him in a fight?
Oh, that was from that Airbnb.
That's that wow. Airbnb,
dude. Brother. You had been heated, bro.
Oh my god, it was so easy to get this man riled up. All I had to do was like, honestly, man, like I think Kluver gives you a run for your money, and he lost his mind.
And I would not. With me and Ben both having equal striking experience, what was it, MMA or boxing?
I don't know. But
it's just a fight, man. You just walk to each other and you tussle.
I think I have less of a – if it's just boxing, I'm fucked. But if I think – if I can get him on the ground – I mean, me and Kevin wrestled one time in the back house. And
I won.
They say Kevin won, and maybe he did, but I don't think it was, like, super clear. Like, he didn't just dominate me. And – Ben's maybe.
The thing that pissed Ben off the most was like Kluver asked, he's like, is it boxing or MMA? Because if it's MMA, I think I got a chance. And Ben was heated.
Ben was on tilt, dude. I remember you snapped me like the next day. He's like, hey, send me more stuff that I can say to Ben just to get him heated on the car ride home.
I remember his response was like, you must just think you're basically just calling me a scrub then. You're just calling me a scrub. Yeah. Like, and I was like, oh, come on, Ben. I'm not the old Kluv that I used to be now.
Like, yeah, I forgot about that. That made me laugh out loud, like for like 20 minutes. Cause I just kept thinking about his reaction. I got the video saved, I think.
I'm sure you do. What do you think? So, did you go to DeMarco just because you're like, hey, fuck it, I just want to train with DeMarco? Or did he help you put on the weight too?
No, it was we'd always talked about it last off season. Like, hey, it'd be fun to kind of mix up our training.
Yeah.
Go to a new place, kind of mix up what we've been doing. And, you know, Nick's got a great setup there. He runs his own show. He obviously, like Kevin said, he's kind of on that cutting edge stuff where he's kind of leading, you know, change within strength and conditioning. So it's something we talked about. And then as soon as, you know, Ben's obviously on the Chiefs, and as soon as I signed a deal to come back, it was, hey, this would be really not only fun, but also like really good for both of us to kind of mix it up and,
yeah,
you know, help get us better at the game of football.
If you guys go back down there next year, I will 100% come out for a week. I'll come out there and train for a week.
No, it'd be fun. He just built his he's
why don't you assholes come to the barn?
Or we can come to the barn. Does Jake know about that? I figured Jake might be sucked into the George
Jake, Kittle. We'll talk off air.
Yeah.
I don't know about the barn. I want to come roll, Drake, is what I need to come do again. I'm meet up with my boy Bo.
Listen, Poppy. You found every excuse of when you were 45 minutes down the road why you couldn't take a morning.
We're golfing. I'm not gonna leave my brother-in-law's bachelor party. Like, I felt bad. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I wanted to, but I'll be there soon.
Maybe Drake's down. Drake's entire life now is jits. Well, I guess he's an MMA. So,
yeah.
Anyone who doesn't want to partake in that, he feels slighted. He feels a little bit slighted.
Drake doesn't want to smoke.
I'm waiting for Kevin to come down and get his first roll in. Kevin has been talking big smoke about it for a long time. He's like, I just need to fight. I don't care. I'll get my ass beat. I don't care. I need to do it. Show up.
Kevin, Mike. I think that was actually, even though it didn't sound like you, I think I'm going to go with it did sound like you, like the mannerism. Yeah, a little bit. I respect that you constantly drink out of Witch cups, Kevin. I just love that about you.
I mean, it's just a great size cup, you know, it's a perfectly sized, like.
It's actually perfectly sized to get two of them, fill them with Oreo shake and slug them like a fat, disgusting piece of shit.
Yeah, no one's ever beat me in that wad. 655. If anybody out there wants to challenge I'm sure there's someone that listens to this goddamn podcast that could smoke it. But not many. I drank I drank a half gallon of Oreo milkshake in 6:55, 6 minutes, 55 seconds. The bet was, could I do it in 20 minutes? And I believe most people were on the high side of that. So
I thought there's no way. No, I think there was, with the stipulation that you wouldn't puke.
Yeah. 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 I didn't.
Which was the most important, most impressive part.
Those Oreo shakes hit different though.
They do.
But you did say you felt pretty awful for like the next day.
There's just no room. I think the back end of, you know, the last 10 ounces was just sitting in my esophagus.
Ben, do you want to hear about what is one of the most awful experiences you can go through?
Yeah, sure.
Colonoscopy prep.
Okay.
The 40 hours before they put you to sleep, you want to kill yourself.
Okay. All right. But at least, yeah, you're cleaned out inside though.
Yeah, it cleaned everything. I don't, there's nothing, my soul, I shit the soul out of myself.
Those Snapchats I got from you after the drugs you were on.
Oh, he was so messed up. He was so messed up. They gave
I remember it though.
Well, that's because, yeah, well, in your element, some would say. Okay. Gervas, you got something. This is the reason I actually hit Gervas up. I didn't even tell the boy. Oh, we'll finish with that. There's a camp going down. I want to hear all about it. What's going on? Sell me on it. What's it for? Who's participating? What's going on?
Why wasn't I invited?
Well, it's because you're no longer somebody that's,
because you're washed up, Kev. That's
irrelevant.
Although Keith is doing it, right?
Yeah, Keith's washed up. What the hell?
I needed a specialist, man. I needed somebody who could teach little kids to kick a football through a goalpost.
Kicking works, yeah. So tell us about it. What's going on?
Yeah, so something we're really excited about. During my time at Iowa, as you guys also experience, you know, we get the chance to go over to the Children's Hospital, visit kids and families who are going through some tough times. And I got the chance through a family friend to meet a little boy named Reed Gleason from the Quad Cities. At the age of 2.5, he was diagnosed with medulloblastoma, which is the most common form of pediatric brain cancer. And, you know, I think it was probably the spring of 2018 up until the next, you know, 2 years. Any time I was able to get over and visit Reed and his family, or meet him at a nearby park when he was going through chemo, radiation, whatever it may be, I was able to get to know him pretty well and his family pretty well. And, you know, he had a big impact on me. As you guys know, it's really special to get to, you know, go over to the Children's Hospital and, you know, see kids and families going through such tough times. But,
no way he froze right.
How
now.
Bad things really are. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. You're back.
Go back like 10 seconds.
So I was just saying, I got the chance to meet Reed and form a relationship with him. And unfortunately, he passed away after an up and down battle with pediatric cancer. He fought it for about 2.5 years and he passed away last October. And, you know, when he passed, I wanted to do something in his honor and his legacy. And his parents had started the Rally for Reed Foundation, which is an awesome foundation that they're using to raise money for pediatric cancer and also to help, you know, families who are in a position similar to what they're in, who have a kid going through something terrible at the hospital. So we got a big camp coming up this June. It's Sunday, June 27th at St. Vincent Complex in Davenport, which is right next to Davenport Assumption. You know, St. Ambrose, it's their facility. It's Davenport Assumption's facility. And they're really been super helpful letting us use the facility. We got 3 sessions going on. We got K through 2nd, 3rd through 5th, and then 6th through 8th. Each session's about 90 minutes. And the cool thing is, not only do you get to, you know, raise money for the Rally for Reed Foundation and for Reed and his family, but it's also, you're going to get the chance to get coached by some awesome coaches. We got a bunch of former Hawks and current NFL guys coming to help out for the day. Some coaches include Ben Neiman and Tristan Wirfs, 2 Super Bowl champs. Yeah, Josie the Outlaw, Jewel, Nate Stanley, Parker Hesse, our guy Nick Easley, a fellow walk-on, Keith Duncan, and then some other guys who actually are, you know, are in their first OTAs right now. Got Alaric Jackson, Sean Beyer, Jack Heflin, a good amount of dudes come to help out. So it's going to be an awesome day. You can register at www.rallyforreed.org. And like I said, it's something we're really excited about. We're going to raise a bunch of money, have fun on the football field, and it's all for a great cause.
We'll put that information in the show notes as well.
I was about to say, Clifford, next time that you have somebody promoting something that's actually important, put it at the front, dickhead.
Well, come on. Yeah, a little conversation.
Because I'm pretty sure people tune this out once we start talking about Drake's colonoscopy.
We led into the camp.
Yeah, let's do a little editing here.
Yeah, Clover's going to have to let him know that at 42 minutes into the podcast, somebody says something important.
Okay. Hold on a second here. Let's just let the tech guy, all right, the guy who creates this show, worry about putting it out to the public, editing, where things go, how the flow works.
All right, we're about to find out. So here, I was going to lead with the joke that we're going to find out if Gervais is no shit about shit and is worth a shit as a coach. Yeah. We're going to find out if you're no shit about editing a podcast.
Well, part of putting out the podcast, hey, new episode today. We got Jake Gervais on talking about the Rally for Reed camp. Well, you lead off with that and then you put it in the show notes. People kind of know where to look. They'll sift through the information. Most people listen to the whole thing anyway. All right. Now, yes, did we lead?
Let the tech guy figure it out. Let's get talking about the camp.
Man. Now, did we lead into the camp with colonoscopy? Yes, we did. Is that on brand for the Wash Up Walk-Ons? Yes, it is. So,
and is it going to be a very clean, well-run camp, just like my gastrointestinal system now after the cleanse? Yes. So, honestly, it all ties together. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Smooth like water, baby, just like this podcast.
Like water. Gosh, so
is this the publicity you're looking for?
Dude, so but the reason for this, I know Gervais is over there sweating. He's like, this is not how I wanted to run this.
Mom's gonna kill me for this.
There are a ton of Iowa fans that listen to this. There's a ton of Iowa fans that have kids that are K through eighth grade that listen to this. If you're not already signed up for the Rally for Reed camp that is being put on by Gervais and an absolute who's who of Hawkeyes and now NFL athletes. I mean, you guys really have like a all-star lineup there.
Hawks help Hawks, man. That has to be a theme.
Yeah. So
yeah, that was something really cool about it is like everyone I asked was super open to it, wanted to help out any way they could. You know, they just had to check their schedule, and that's something really cool about, you know, teammates and, you know, Iowa guys you form relationships with. If you need help or have a cause to help out with, everyone was super awesome and excited to help out for this big camp in Reed's name.
Yeah, that's so. Again, it's June 27th, right?
Yeah, June 27th in Davenport.
That's a Saturday.
That's a Sunday. So Sunday, yeah. We figured Sunday would be the best. We know, unfortunately, is the same weekend as the state of Iowa, like youth state baseball tournament. But we will be accepting walk-ins. We will be accepting late registration. So I think right now we're just over 400 kids for the day.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I might have bit off a little more than I can chew, but we're going to find out.
Hold on. That's like –
That's a great time, dude. That's a lot of kids, man.
Dude, that's like big time operation.
And hopefully, hopefully this podcast gets you another couple hundred.
Hey, we're not asking for a dime, brother. All for charity, all for Jake Gervais, all for the kids, baby.
Yeah.
Now it is awesome. I think right now we're at like $50,000 raised for the
let's make it 100.
For those who don't have kids, how can you support the Rally for Reed Foundation?
Yep. So if you don't have kids, you can go to www.rallyforreed.org. So on Reed's website, on the foundation's website, You'll see a link to register for the camp. And if you don't have kids, you can just make a donation to the foundation, which is awesome. And you can, you know,
dude, donate. Honestly, dude, I'm about to hit you with some marketing right here. What you need to do is an after hours women's camp. Promote that right here on this podcast, like Ladies Football Academy, except the ladies now get to work with all the guys who made it to the NFL. And it's an after hours thing, wine during water breaks.
Yep.
And it is, you can make, you could make a killing, brother.
Dude, Hawkeye Ladies Football Academy after dark. And it's in, it's
rally for Reed.
It's in the indoor facility.
Dude, rally.
The lights are turned down. There maybe is a stripper pole or two for Josie for Josie to get up and just wear.
Listen, man, all I'm saying is I think that if you want to do this day true justice, you add an after hours event and make all the money.
You get
a bartender, you get a DJ, and you have a tremendous night with the adult fans who just brought their kids. You know, send the kids home in an Uber. It's after hours, baby. Let's go, daddy-o.
Maybe that'll be something we look into next year for that. I think for this June, we're good to go with just the K-8 group. And we'll check out the Cougar section next year.
All the dads are coming to pick up the kids and the moms are just staying.
Oh, man. You guys are crazy.
Dude, this is why we do this podcast, bro.
That was a funny and real marketing idea. We literally worked the Ladies Football Academy where hundreds of ladies came in and raised thousands of dollars each to come out and get a workout in. I literally just stole the idea straight from Iowa Football, and this is an Iowa Football podcast. I don't know what you're looking at me crazy for. I just added a little booze because why not?
My face hurts from laughing, dude. I can't. So again, Tech Guy's going to put all that information in the show notes, and I'll also link that when I push that on social media as well. So you guys are hearing this on Thursday the 10th. So you guys still have a little under 2 weeks. Wait, I can't do math. A little over two weeks to sign up for that. So 2.5 weeks. That's awesome, man. 50 grand, 400 kids. That shit is already on another level. And hopefully this podcast can give you a little bit more. Before we close it down here, the rumor has it that Jake Gervais is not a fan of the Iowa basketball team. And...
that rumor is false.
The rumor has it that he wants to throw hands with the entire team, 1-on-15. And no, but you did have a tweet. You joined me. You got a little bit of your own medicine because you were one of the guys that reached out to me when I shit on ISM this season. And then you sent the tweet that said, you know what? The wrestlers, they seem to be a little bit more focused. The basketball team, they're a little bit too worried about the gift bags at the NCAA tournament. Do you want to clarify things and clear things up there, Mr. Jake Gervais?
Yeah. Like obviously I put my foot in my mouth because it appeared like I was kicking the team while I was down. I got some blowback like you did with the Amir thing, and you know, shit happens. If I look back at it, I wish I would have kept the tweet up because the damage was already done. But my perspective at the time, and I think you guys as athletes could agree with this, was, and let me make this clear. I got no problem with NIL making money off your name, image, like this. The tweet had nothing to do with that.
Right.
It was more the fact that a wrestler was quoted saying, you know, about the COVID protocols and what's going on. He was like, you know, we're just grateful we get the opportunity to compete. Right. You know, what's his name? Lugo. Lost his senior eligibility, didn't compete. He was ranked number one in the country his senior year. COVID screwed that up. And then I thought the basketball team, a few individuals were tweeting, talking shit about gift bags and some other stuff. And from my perspective, it was just like, you know, you're given the opportunity to compete on the highest stage. I'm all for name, image, and likeness, but it's, I don't know if it's necessarily the time, in my personal opinion, to be complaining when you got a game to focus on. People,
you were just pointing out a little minor correlation.
Just a minor correlation, and people didn't agree with that perspective. Some people did. It got a lot more likes than it did, you know, blowback tweets. But, you know, as you know personally, and as I found out, Twitter can be a dangerous place where people will come for your soul, especially Hawkeye Nation, which hopefully they accept me back with open arms. But that was my perspective on that situation.
Listen, dude, you put together a children's football camp, raised over $50,000 for a charity in the name of a kid who you formed a great relationship who died of pediatric cancer. If anybody doesn't accept you back from me and the bottom of my heart, go fuck yourself, because we don't care about you. Okay, continue.
What made you delete it? Was it the blowback online? Were people telling you to delete it? Was someone whispering in your ear that you respected, saying, hey, probably take that down? Or
people just, a couple people were telling me to delete it, because like it wasn't like it was like slowing down. It was like a snowball. Like it kept getting more traction and traction. It kept like getting worse. And like part of me was like, all right, if I delete it, like this shit's over with, nobody's gonna bring it up, blah, blah, blah. And that once I deleted it, like nobody really brought it up again.
Right.
But like part of me is like, you know what? I have a right to my personal opinion. People agree with, disagree with it. So what? But it was just a combination of the snowball effect. It was doing more harm than good, because like I got like mad respect for like Joe Wieskamp, freaking Luca Garza, like guys that, you know, I see compete and love the way that they support other Hawkeyes. So like I didn't want to make it seem like I was kicking a team while they were down, which a lot of people took it that way. I was just making an observation about the difference of mindsets and the results that followed. And it probably wasn't the right time to do that, like a couple hours after they lose in round two. But if I would go back, I would have changed the timing of my tweet and maybe reword it here and there, because like I said, it wasn't a jab at the whole basketball team. It was me voicing an opinion about mindset from an athletic perspective.
Yeah. Does this sound similar to a conversation we just had, Kluver? Because I think we may have just had Gervas, you're allowed, you're entitled to your opinion. And the First Amendment protects that. I just want to remind you that. And that's where this podcast stands.
Yeah. Yeah. The Twitter's a funny place, man. I think when it happened to me, not that it happened to me, I don't give a shit. I mean, come at me. But I love how people, they see like, you know, 140 characters and they automatically think that they know exactly what your intent was and exactly what you meant. And in reality, it was like, there's a million different ways to interpret that, and they're welcome to interpret it their own way. But the conviction that people have, thinking that they know exactly what kind of person you are, what like what your intent is with a very small amount of words, it gets to be pretty funny.
It does. And I should have hit somebody else up and be like, hey man, like I'm thinking about tweeting this, like what do you think? But you of course I talked to
dude, honestly.
You talked to Ben.
I talked to Ben, and Ben was like, dude, do it, man. Do it.
Listen, you should have just talked to me, because I'm the king of saying incredibly shit, like crazy things on the internet, to the point where the other two sitting to my left were like, hey man, you honestly should probably just delete your Twitter, or like maybe not delete your Twitter, but just like stop saying this shit. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to, yeah, that's what it was. They're like, you got to stop. And I was like, all right, I'll just delete it altogether. Yeah. So because I would have been the guy to hit up.
Keep yourself from doing it.
Yeah.
So I would have been the good guy to hit up, and I would just let you know that if you're going to do it, you just got to be ready to fight the good fight.
Yeah. And like I said, I learned from, I don't think it was a mistake, but I learned from the experience, and that's all I got to say on.
Hey, you're relevant, dude. You're relevant. Cause if you weren't relevant, then no one would give a shit. They just wouldn't respond, you know?
Which is just, yourself too, Clue.
Like, it's, 100%. That's all I tell myself. It's like, well, Wash-Up Walk-Ons must be relevant because all these fucking people are upset that we said something. And if we, and if we didn't matter and we were truly just loser washed up players that are no longer have, you know, no longer have any validation in what they say in the Hawkeye community, then no one would be really caring right now. And, you know,
it's just crazy though, because like, you can tell yourself, or at least me personally, like, I could tell myself, oh, I don't care what people think. But then you like read some of that shit and you're like, damn, like, they're coming from my soul right now.
Yeah, like, you start to think like, damn, am I a bad person, man? Am I?
And like, and I'll be open. Like, it like, I just didn't like the feeling I had after, even though I don't think I did, made a mistake. I'll be, you know, open and vulnerable. It was like, damn, like, maybe I shouldn't have tweeted this shit.
Yeah, because it hurts to get shit on a little bit.
Yeah, the blowback ain't worth, you know, the destruction that followed from, you know, Twitter fingers behind other people's brains.
You know what I think it is too? Go, Drake, go.
I was going to say that the thing that for a while I maybe worked to get over was the idea that you were allowing people to have an opinion. Like, if you just don't say anything, nobody outside of your circle who sees your life gets to have an opinion on you. But then if you do say something, like on this podcast or on the internet or something, they fucking get to have an actual opinion and enter your phone and stuff. So like, that's the like availability that you're offering other people, is that they just fucking give it up.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the thing that's sad too is like, in today's society, we're getting deep here. Like, someone else can't have an opinion that's different than you. Because if they do, you automatically like hate them and you're against them and they're a terrible person, where it's like, you can't learn and grow unless you listen to other people's opinions, have a discussion about it, a conversation like adults.
Yeah.
And like, let their opinion be different than you. But in today's society, you can't do that because you're the worst human in the world and you're going to get freaking.
No, I go out of my way to listen to opinions that I know are just different from mine, because that's how you learn. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, yeah, they make some good points here and there. And then, you know, half the time it's like, no, I just flat out don't agree with that.
You know what's wild, Drake? You know how you started last for the other two that weren't here. Drake started the last podcast by calling, you know, one side of the political spectrum liberal cucks. No.
That was not a whole side. That was a certain population.
An extreme, right?
It was an extreme. It was
an extreme. And what's crazy is we actually had, like, 3 hours ago, I had somebody hit me up and say, you know, I'm probably one of your very few liberal listeners. And so the last episode made me twitch a little bit, but I can respect listening and to other people who have a different opinion and putting myself in your frame of mind and like trying to see the other side of things. And I was like, holy shit, there's a rational human being out there that can like just let things go and like try to see both sides.
This is making me curious as to what Drake said.
Oh, it was all about Fauci.
It was about Fauci. And
it was all about how the fringe liberals were trying to, everything that they were projecting out to the world over the past year, and how they were literally trying to mesmerize people with fear porn and everything. And I don't know, that everything that has come out about Fauci and the lies, and how the people who didn't believe the lies were called the pieces of shit and you don't know anything, this, that, and the other. And well, hey, that was where the conversation was at. And I said, you know, to the fringe liberal cucks, I let them know exactly how I felt.
Oh man. Back to what you said.
That's the thing though, is there's also fringe Republican
that are psychic.
And we saw them. That was the Proud Boys on the fucking steps of the Capitol building.
Yeah, those guys are assholes.
That's not me either. Like, find a word for those guys.
Although, Drake, your aesthetic really does match those guys. It'd be hard to determine visually.
You could have told me that you were the dude dressed as a Viking carrying around the little pedestal, and I would have believed it.
There's Drake in Washington.
I have the Lord's scripture tattooed on my body. Yeah. How could you say those things?
I know. They ended up sending a lot of those people to jail, which is good.
Yeah, which is good. Back to what you said, though, Gervas, about people like not being able to have opinions. I think what happens is they see us as – they follow us for a reason, right? They found us. They know of us because we're Iowa athletes. We had this platform at one time, and we were, you know, part of their favorite team, right? And they want to, in their mind, think that all these athletes, there's like, we're in this bubble. And when something kind of pops the bubble, right? And there's some inside that bubble, there's people who are now on two different sides of an equation. They don't want to think about that. Like, oh, our favorite Iowa athletes that we like to follow and listen to their podcasts or whatever, I don't want to have to choose sides between them, right? Which is partially like what happened when I tweeted about Amir. It's like, oh shit, Kluver, I like Kluver and I like Amir. But now Kluver thinks something about Amir and said something that kind of goes against, like now they're on separate sides of this like confrontation, right? And I don't want to have to choose sides, so I'm going to voice my opinion or whatever. We saw that with the Jordan Bohannon thing when he got, you know, he went KSI, Mayweather, Logan Paul downtown. Like, you know, he decided he wanted, I'm not sure what he decided to do. Evidently the whole story is going to come out. Well, at least his half of the story, but Drake and I spoke.
Evidently.
They're coming. So, and Drake and I and Kevin all spoke on that. And we thought, you know what? Maybe there's some responsibility to be taken on both sides here. And a lot of Iowa fans didn't like that as well, which it confuses me. Like, hey, let's look at an entire situation logically. But
there's two sides to every story. There's no way nothing happened that caused that situation to take place.
Right. Like no, 100%.
Basically the conclusion that I came to is that, you know, did you deserve to get punched? No, but you can't be surprised that you did, given the situation that you put yourself in.
Yeah. Well, no, there's at any point in time before he gets knocked out, he has the opportunity to walk away from that situation. And because he can make that decision, he assumes some responsibility for then the ensuing action. Is it a smaller amount of responsibility than the guy who threw the haymaker? Yeah, probably. Because that guy could have just not punched him either. But you're in downtown.
It was a cheap shot too. I mean,
the guy kind of came up to him and sucked on his ear a little bit and said, hey, guy, you know.
Yeah, my buddy's face.
I'm going to take you out the ice cream here in a second. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure we'll get fucked on for that again, too. Hey, Iowa, just shit on all four of us. Just hit, you know. Send it to Drake's Twitter.
Drake's Twitter. Tweeted Drake. He doesn't have it anymore.
Tweeted Drake.
Hey, is Drake's Twitter still tweeting about sunglasses?
Yeah, they're trying to sell fake Ray-Bans. They hacked them. Anything else? I mean, we hit a wide range of topics here. Anything else?
I said we went on some tangents there.
Well, that's how this thing works, you know. And just the fact that you're here and Kevin respects you enough to come on this podcast with you, because he's not on every episode, you know.
Not on a lot of them. I only show my face for about half of them. So, I mean,
at this point, the majority don't have Kevin in it. So the fact that you got Kevin here was a family affair.
I mean, he called me daddy, so I would have felt bad if I wasn't here. You know?
That's true. Jake Gervas, everybody. I don't know what number you are, 26.
In football?
What are you now for the Rams?
39, bro. Get it right.
Awesome. 39. I don't know if I make a team, I don't know if 39 is going to stick around, because I don't know if that's much of a linebacker's number, but we'll get through the preseason and go from there.
True. Well, good luck, my friend, as you continue this journey of the NFL.
No, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me on. We shouldn't wait a year and a half to do this. It's it's always a better time than I expect. We had a good time, and appreciate you, Clue, setting this up, and go get registered for that Rally for Reed camp, man. It's gonna be an awesome day, and we still got some spots to fill. So either register if you got a kid, or make a donation would be awesome to the
foundation. Hey, Jake, I want you to know, I'll commit to this right here on this podcast. In Rally for Reed 2.0, if there is an after hours version, I will bartend your event.
Shirtless
bartend, but if we do this, you got a bartend. Kev's got a strip because we know Kev likes to dance.
Yeah. And he likes to not have clothes on as well.
Loves it. Number 222, Gervais Gervais. Stay away from the onions, buddy. And hopefully we can get you on for another episode soon. That's it. Wash up.
Stay away from the onions and don't backpedal off the field, man. You'll be all right.
Yeah. Those are two great. That's just great advice in life. That's it. Fans, I know you enjoyed this one. We'll be back again on Monday. Until then.
And if you didn't laugh, go fuck yourself.
Okay. There you go. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.